You are listening to benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you on this fourth Wednesday in Lent, from God our Father and from the suffering Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Amen. You have before you today a stapled sheet, and on the first two sides, you will notice all the references and the printouts from the New Testament, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, concerning a man by the name of Barabbas. You should be shocked. Does this man, a murderer, ever get a lot of print on the pages of the New Testament? Who would suspect that? An insignificant person, it would seem, is spoken about in so many words. It's unusual because, you see, very few stories in the book of John are repeats of the first three gospels. Only is the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on water, and Barabbas repeated. That is in addition to the story of Jesus' crucifixion, because that's in all four gospels. But why does Barabbas get so much print when he was seemingly such a bad guy? Well, today we look at things from the perspective of Barabbas. Of course, that's going to be kind of hard to do in one way, isn't it? Barabbas doesn't say anything on the pages of Scripture. We just learn things about him. So it all comes down to whether we're talking about Pilate or Caiaphas or Barabbas or any of the other figures of the Passion story. It really comes down to God's perspective. What is he trying to get across to you and me? And does he have a great message today in the person and the name of Barabbas? I call the sermon Our Buddy Barabbas. Wow, you never thought of him as being your friend, have you? Well, I think you will after the sermon today. If you will notice on the third side, where it says Our Buddy Barabbas, texts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John harmonize, I have taken from Dr. Beck's work, the greatest story ever told, the greatest part even, the Passion story, and I've used this combination of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to put the story together in a harmonized form. Here are all four Gospels chronologically put together. Hear the word of the Lord. Now at every festival, the governor used to free one prisoner whom the crowd wanted. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner by the name of Barabbas. Barabbas had been thrown into prison with the rebels who, in their revolt, had committed a murder that had taken place in the city that would be the city of Jerusalem. And the crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them as he had done before. You have a custom that I set one person free for you at Passover, Pilate answered them. Whom do you want me to set free for you, Barabbas or Jesus, the King of the Jews, who is called Christ, that is Messiah? For he knew they had handed Jesus over to him. Why? Because they were jealous. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent someone to tell him, "Let that righteous man alone, because I suffered much in a dream last night on account of him." But the ruling priests and elders stirred up the people so that Pilate would release Barabbas to them and have Jesus killed. The governor asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to set free for you?" Then the whole crowd shouted, "Not this one! Away with him! Free Barabbas for us!" But because Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, he called out to the people again, "Then, what should I do with Jesus who is called Christ, whom you call the King of the Jews?" Then they kept yelling, "Crucify, crucify him!" So Pilate asked them a third time, "Why? What wrong has he done? I have found nothing in him that deserves death, so I'm going to have him whipped and let him go." But they began to shout even louder, "Crucify him!" Their shouts were overpowering Pilate. When he saw that he was not getting anywhere, but that a riot was breaking out instead, Pilate took water and washed his hands before the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Pilate, wanting to satisfy the people, decided that what they demanded should be done. He released Barabbas, who had been put in prison for revolt and murder, for whom they were asking. Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified in line with their wishes. Jesus had said, "This is the time when darkness rules." He had said that way back in the Garden of Gethsemane. And did it ever prove true? If you ever want to see non-justice done in the world, then you go into Pilate's courtroom. The Jews will lie. They will deceive. They will do everything against Deuteronomy that says that you need to have two witnesses agree before you can do anything. And Pilate, 4 or 5 times, he declares, "I find this man guilty of nothing." And then on occasions he says, "So I'll go ahead and have him whipped." Well, if he's innocent, why would you whip the prisoner? There is no justice. It is the time when darkness rules. Satan, the prince of darkness, is throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at Christ to try to overthrow the God above, as he had done from the beginning. Well, let's talk about this Barabbas. Not a nice guy. Probably a zealot. You know what zealots were? In between the Old Testament Malachi and the New Testament Matthew, 4 groups of people arose who are not mentioned in the Old Testament. There were the Pharisees, the laymen, the Sadducees, the clergy, the Essenes, who had, well, like monks in the Roman Catholic Church, isolated themselves from society so they could stay away from sin. And there were the zealots, the revolutionaries, the ISIS of the Old Testament. They believed in one thing: the violent overthrow of the Roman government. They were a constant thorn in the rulers from Rome. Barabbas had joined such a group. We suspect he was a zealot. Oh, by the way, do you remember that Jesus had a zealot as one of his disciples? A man by the name of Simon the Zealot, not to be confused with Simon Peter. This is a different Simon. And that Simon must have given up his revolutionary ways, put away his physical sword, and picked up the sword of the Spirit in order to spread the word of God to people. But Barabbas, most likely a zealot. joined with other revolutionaries, and in the city of Jerusalem, it came to a murder, probably a murder of a Roman, maybe a Roman soldier. And he had been arrested along with the other rebels and thrown into prison. Now came Passover, a time when there was a custom: set a bad guy free, someone that the crowd wanted. Now, why would they want this guy set free? Maybe he could come into their home, steal, and murder. But there were many who liked Barabbas and his ideas. Kill Romans was the theme of the day. And so when Barabbas was offered to the crowd, Pilate, well, I don't think he really thought they were going to not want Barabbas set free, but he was hoping for a double impact. He was going to offer them a double bonus, kind of like some of these lottery games, right? He was going to say, well, I'll give you Barabbas, and how about I throw Jesus into the package? The people didn't go for it. They still said, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Now, interrupting the story was something interesting. The wife of Pontius Pilate. You know, there's a lot written between the lines in these gospel stories. You have to be alert to see the clues. Why would Pilate's wife be dreaming about Jesus Christ on the night of the trial? Well, you see, this was the hour when darkness ruled. The priests had already been to Pilate in the middle of the night saying, we're going to get you up early. We got to have a fast trial about this guy that could cause riots in the city at Passover, this Jesus. He might claim to be the Messiah, and all the people will go wild about it. We have to get him convicted early before the people come to town from the outskirts for the celebration of the Passover. Well, you know how women are, right? When Pilate went back to bed in the middle of the night, you know exactly what happened, don't you? Pilate's wife would have said, what was that all about? And he would have told her. And with that, her mind will be on this person named Jesus Christ. And what do you often dream about? Things that you have thought about right before you go to sleep. Of course, God's impact was in all of this, because he guided the dream. You know that because this nightmare that she had shook her up so bad and informed her that this Jesus of Nazareth was, as the text says, a righteous man. How would she know if he was innocent or not? But she comes to the conclusion he's righteous. Pilate, get your hands out of this mess. It's going to ruin your governorship. Push it to the side. Which Pilate tried to do when he passed Jesus off to Herod, but Herod lateraled it back to Pilate, and he was stuck with the mess. And here he is with two prisoners. The people want one set free and the other. They are very intent on getting him crucified. But you have to read something else behind the text. Did you notice that the ruling priest went among the crowd and stirred them up to yell for crucifixion and to yell for the release of Barabbas? Why would they need to do that at an early hour? Because people were starting to filter into town for Passover around 6 o'clock in the morning. People got up a lot earlier back in those days, even when there wasn't a job to go to or church to go to. And so in any event, we now have new people in the crowd who may not vote for the crucifixion of Jesus, because Jesus was very popular outside Jerusalem, where people were not nearly as brainwashed by the ruling clergy of Jerusalem, as were the people who were inhabitants of Jerusalem. So the people went in, the ruling priests, and stirred up the people. As I told my class at Lutheran West last Thursday evening, there's something that might be very significant here. I worked with a chronologist who did all kinds of study of the scriptures. And he remembered that in the days of Moses, the priests, well, they served at the temple and the tabernacle. But a problem arose. The priests grew so many in number that they were tripping over each other in the tabernacle ceremonies. So King David, a good 500 years after Moses, divided all the priests over the whole land into 24 groups or divisions. You know one of those divisions, right? It was called Abijah. John the Baptizer's father, Zacharias, came from that 8th division. And he was in the temple at just the right time for the angel Gabriel to appear. Planned by God. Because you see, priests only performed certain actions one time in their life. They burned incense one time. Because there were like 850 priests in every division. So when the dice were thrown, the lot fell to Zacharias to burn incense at just the right time that God wanted to send the angel Gabriel to announce the birth of John the Baptizer. Well, there were 24 divisions. The 18th division, this chronologist said, came from Nazareth. According to his calculations of the times when this division would serve, he came to the conclusion that they were just coming on to duty on the Saturday after Jesus died on Friday, which means they would be in town ready to go on duty on that Friday. And they would be great candidates to go among the people and stir them up against Jesus. Why? A prophet is not accepted in his own country. Remember how the people of Nazareth in Luke 4 rejected Jesus and wanted to throw him over a cliff? Well, Jesus' boyhood buddies would have been some of those priests that were in town. And I'm sure they considered Jesus when they were kids as a goody two-shoes, because he didn't participate in teenage pranks and getting into other trouble. And probably was often asked who did it and had to tell the truth. And those boyhood buddies thought he had ratted them out. See, put it into understandable terms. People are people. And it was now get even time if they were the group on duty. And they could be very good candidates for stirring the people up so that the verdict came out the way the priesthood wanted it to come. Well, Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, as I said. And he says here in our text, I find in him nothing guilty of death. So I'm going to have him whipped. No justice whatsoever. Well, the clincher was what? A riot was breaking out. This was serious stuff. That's why Herod from the north in Galilee was in town with his troops. It's why Pilate is in town. Often he made his home up in Caesarea, not Jerusalem. All the Romans that were government officials were in town for Passover, because that was the great time that people arose and said, I'm the Messiah. And a bunch of idiots would follow them and revolution would break out, and there would be turmoil. Pilate feared riots more than anything. If a governor could not control the people, he was called back to Rome by the Caesar, and he lost his job. Once again, job security. And so when Pilate saw that a riot was breaking out, he knew he had to end things real quick, cave in, give in to the people, announce that Jesus should be crucified, but he also announced something else. He took some water, washed his hands, as if that was going to do anything good. As we say, I washed my hands of the whole matter. But you know, when we do that, the problem is still there, correct, in life. And it would remain with Pilate for a long time. And he said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself. Go ahead, crucify him. I give in to your wishes. You know, the Pilate that we meet on the pages of Scripture, at least in the story of Jesus' trial, is not the true Pilate. He's the Pilate who is giving in because he is forced to give in. He was a stubborn, despicable person. Very, very cruel. And you know how he gets even later on in the story. He puts the sign on the cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, which infuriated the priest. They said, don't put that up there, that he's the King of the Jews. Put up there, he says he's the King of the Jews. And Pilate says, what I've written, I have written. That's the real Pilate, the tough Pilate, the one who was not flexible at all unless his job was in jeopardy. So he tries to get out of the whole situation by washing his hands, saying, I'm innocent, you go do the nasty deed. And the people, now talk about another Balaam of the New Testament with words turned around in the mouth. They say, his blood be on us and our children. Now, it would have been very good if the forgiving blood of Jesus would have rested upon them. We hope some of them came to faith via Peter's Pentecost sermon and were baptized. We know many of them were shocked that day. They knew they had called for the crucifixion of Jesus. They had been there on the first Passover when Jesus died. And then on Pentecost, 50 days later, they were back and Peter accused them of killing the Lord of glory. And they were struck to the heart. That means the Holy Spirit was in operation. Because nobody feels guilt for their sins unless the Holy Spirit convicts them through the Scriptures. And then they yelled, well, what can we do? Is there any way out? Are we all going to be cursed because we said his blood be on us and our children? And Peter said, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message to you and me yet today. Repent. Have godly sorrow. Your sins have been against God, and believe that he is the only one who washes away sin. No one else can do it. But the Jews, in their unbelief, cried, his blood be on us and our children, which reminds us of Exodus 20, where it says that God visits the iniquities upon the children of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. But what is good is he shows mercy to thousands of them who come to believe on him. Well, wanting to satisfy the people, the text says, it was decided that Pilate would do what they demanded. So, as the text says there, and you see the ABBA, he released Barabbas and he handed Jesus over to be crucified. That's in the book of Matthew. Matthew thinks like a Jew because he's writing to Jews. And he has a chiastic arrangement here. It's like poetry. A, A-B-B-A, or A-B-B-A. Notice that first you have released, the verb, and then you have the next day to be crucified, and in between are the names Barabbas and Jesus. He's thinking like a Jew. Barabbas went free, Jesus went to the cross. If you will join me on the next side of your sheet, I'm going to read you a section from the book that I am going to have published. And after a long discussion about Barabbas, this is how I conclude that section of the book. Please follow along. I write, with this historic backdrop, that's everything I've said here in the sermon before, we can now dissect the name Barabbas, made up of two parts, as you see. The latter part, Abba, means father in Aramaic. Remember, the Jews now spoke Aramaic. They had learned it when they were captives back in Babylon 600 years before Jesus was born. So in Aramaic, Abba means father. In Romans chapter 15, you will note, the Apostle Paul talks about Abba, Father. We cry, Father, Father. The people would have understood that well. Aramaic is closely associated with Hebrew. In that language, Father is spelled Av, and is the first part of the name Avraham, meaning father of many nations. The word bar, the first part of the name Barabbas, is the Jewish way of saying son. When a Jewish boy becomes 12 years old, and you remember Jesus did this when he was 12 years old in the book of Luke, that boy becomes a bar mitzvah. You've heard of that before. Maybe you have been invited to a bar mitzvah, a confirmation of a Jewish boy at some time in your life. Well, when he's a bar mitzvah, he becomes a son of the commandment. From that time on, he's considered an adult who has to keep the laws of Moses. Thus, Barabbas means son of the Father. Jesus is also son of the Father. Let's parallel both for theological impact. Barabbas, the son of the Father, went free when Jesus, the Son of the Father, went to the cross. Very ingenious. It was not coincidence that a man named Barabbas was before Pilate at the same time as Jesus. If a man of a different name had been there with him, the parallel would be absent. It had to be a man named Barabbas. He represents you and me. The Bible calls both males and females sons of God. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are moved by God's Spirit are God's sons, sons of the Heavenly Father. In short, when our representative Barabbas went free, that was all people going free. When the Savior went to the cross for Barabbas and all of us at the same time. We do not like to hear it, but all people are murderers like Barabbas. Every one of you sitting in that pew today and me are murderers. And you know, as the Bible says in 1 John 3:15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know, no murderer has everlasting life awaiting him. That would be Barabbas and you and me in our natural states. For who of us has not hated someone at one time or another? I want you older ladies and older men to think back to your grade school experiences when somebody was causing you lots of hassle. They call it bullying today. We used to have it And you know as well as I do, you went home really ticked off at the person causing you trouble. Maybe it was your teacher. And hate was in the heart. Now, you may have forgiven that person the next day because you know how long all that stuff lasts in grade school, right? It's like going steady with a girl or a boy. You know, it's eternal for at least 2 weeks, right? Something like that. And we've all hated. Let's be honest with it. And at that moment that you hated, that's called sin. God calls it murder. We don't like to hear it, but it's true. But why worry about it? We have Jesus here who has already washed it away by the time that you got to high school, when you did it again with some of the people there, and washed it away again till you got married and got angry at somebody called a spouse and really hated them for a moment and then got forgiven. Oh, I don't want to hear about that. Sorry. It's the Bible, but it's also the Bible to give us comfort that Jesus' blood washes away all of our sins. But the great news, it goes on to say, is that Jesus has already washed us clean with his blood when he went to the cross in the place of Barabbas, and each one of us, we are free. Neat stuff, huh? God had that Good Friday plan, well calculated to keep us shaking our heads in amazement. From the perspective of Barabbas, putting it into modern terminology, when the crowd called for his release, he probably had both thumbs up to the crowd. Way to go. I want out of here, and I don't care what happens to that other guy. But I would think that in the days after this, and I don't know if Barabbas is in heaven or hell today. How do we know where anybody is after they really die? Only God knows. I would certainly think that Barabbas, being a Hebrew, knew the meaning of his name. And that when he heard that Jesus was the Son of the Father, I would think something would click on in his head by the power of the Holy Spirit to know that he was the Son of the Father who went free when Jesus, Son of the Father, went to the cross. You see, all of us are Barabbases. We have all gone free as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father as Jesus went to the cross. May God impact into your minds today that Barabbas is our buddy, because we are so much like him, and we, like him, have also gone free as Jesus went to the prison of death. May God move you to appreciate this story, where it is not by accident. It's just too coincidental to be accidental that a guy by the name of Barabbas happened to be on trial that day, and not a guy by the name of Jonah or Zerubbabel or David or one of those other Old Testament characters. But he was a man named Barabbas. You and me. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.